has never been rescinded. And so, Lord, thank you that you commission us too to be in that marvellous work as ambassadors of yours to share your good news. Help us, we ask, as we learn together now. In your name, amen. Well, friends, we begin this morning a nine series of sermons seeking to address the very practical things about how you and I might go about sharing our faith in a very natural and normal way. As you will be well aware, in our current political and social climate, we have to be very careful on what we say, how we say, and where we say and share our faith. And I hope that these coming weeks we're all going to be enabled to think, gosh, well, actually, I can do this. It's something that God is enabling me to be part of and as a member of the church. So we pull together and work together to share his good news where we are in the context of daily life and in the community to which we belong. Now, it says on the screen there, in pairs with someone you don't know. Well, rather than kind of mixing you all up, I'm going to suggest if you turn to the person next to you, if you don't know them, introduce yourself and ask the question, how long have you been here at All Saints? Well, friends, thank you. I'm going to move us on. And if we could have the next slide, please, Charles. Keep going. Next slide. That's it. Thank you. Yes, please. Next one. Keep going. There we go. So the aim of these next few weeks, we're going to learn how to speak our faith with anyone in a relaxed, natural and helpful way so that they may discover and respond to God's love for them. And St. Peter, when he was writing his first letter, said this, "But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." I wonder where Peter learned this. I often reflect on how the first disciples must have learned so much from the actual practice of Jesus as he enabled and called them to go out initially in pairs, and then he called and commissioned the 70 or 72, depending which gospel you read, and they went out in pairs to share the ministry that Jesus had called them to. And quite clearly, St. Peter sees that we as Christians are called by the Lord Jesus to be prepared to share. That the good news that he has shared with us and that has come to us in the course of our lives, we in turn are commissioned to pass on. We are called both to be prepared and to share. Thank you. Now, Will read for us that wonderful passage from Colossians 4, verses 2 to 6. And over the course of these coming weeks, you will become very familiar with this particular passage. Because as we go through this series week by week, we're going to look at a different sentence or part of this short passage and unpack it. And so when it comes to this morning, we're going to look at that first part of Colossians 4. Thank you. And the next one. And Paul wrote this: devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message. As Paul encourages the Christians in this infant church at Colossae, the first thing he encourages them to be is a people of prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer, writes Paul. Now, I don't know what you read into the word devote. I don't see devotion as being occasional. It's as if Paul is saying, look, begin to pray and go on praying. Be people of prayer, but be watchful and thankful. So as we begin this series of how do we go about sharing our faith, I want to encourage us to be men and women of prayer. Prayer for ourselves, prayer for those who live around us and the contacts we have in daily life. Praying that, as St. Paul asked the Colossians to pray, pray that God would open a door. I remember listening to a very well-known evangelist some years ago who actually admitted that when it comes to sharing faith, he makes this prayer very personal. In other words, although he was very good at talking to crowds and crowds of people on a big kind of evangelistic campaign, when it came to talking to people one-on-one, he was often flummoxed. Now, you might think that's extraordinary, but actually, many of us are. That when it comes to talking to another person about things that are deeply personal to us, about real experience in our own lives, often we are flummoxed. And he said, in referring to this particular verse, he said, I pray, Richard, that God not would open the door just a little bit, but God would open the door so wide that I can unmistakably know that this is an opportunity that the Lord is giving me to share. And actually, I think there's a lot to commend that. Let's be praying that God would open the door for the message of good news that you and I can share, whether that's at home, at work, in this community, wherever it may be, that God would open the doors. Now, the great thing is that when God opens the door, if we have eyes to see it, we'll recognize that this is a God opportunity. And over these coming weeks, we're going to be looking and saying, well, okay, if that door does open, and it's quite clear that here is an opportunity to share something of the love of Jesus with the person I'm talking to, what do I say? How do I go about it? Because many of us are flummoxed when that door is opened. And think, help, we get tongue-tied, and we don't quite know what to say. So, to begin with, I want to encourage us to be men and women of prayer and young people of prayer, praying for ourselves that we'd have the courage that we need, praying that God would open the door. And so we have a number of clues from this passage about prayer, the first being that Paul says in chapter 4, verse 2, go on praying, be devoted. Keep on going. Don't just do it occasionally, but be men and women of prayer. Keep on praying. Thank you. And then he says, focus your prayers through thankfulness. Thankfulness is such an important part of our lives as Christians. Having an attitude of gratitude, as we say to the children at school. Fueling our prayers with thankfulness for what the Lord is doing in us and thankful for all that he wants to do in the lives of those we meet. So fueling our prayer through thankfulness and watchfulness, interestingly. Why do you think Paul asks us to be watchful? Well, I think he wants us to be watchful, A, because we're praying that the Lord would open doors, so keep us watchful about the door, whether it's opening or not, but also being alert to what's going on around us, so that our watchfulness informs our praying. And, you know, as we look at the world around us, as we encounter people in society, we need to be watchful of what God is doing in that bigger sphere, so it can fuel and focus our prayers. And then in verse 3 of chapter 4, he asks us to pray for others. And Paul says, pray for us too, that God would open a door for our message. And so Paul himself, the great evangelist, the great apostle, is mindful that he needs the prayers of the Colossian Christians. And we too need to be in prayer for one another so that we may have the encouragement we need to keep going. Thank you. And in verse 3 of chapter 4, as we've seen, that God would open the door, that there would be God-given opportunities for us to be able to share something of the Lord's love with those we meet and know. So Paul's clues for praying, and we'll come across this last one again, but he says, pray for wise words and a clear focus on Jesus in verse 4. We'll come across that in a few weeks' time again to unpack that a bit more. But that prayer for wisdom, being sensitive, being careful of where the other person is, and being able to share sensitively in an appropriate way what it is that Jesus wants us to share with that person about his love. So there are lots of clues in this passage about how we can be people of prayer. Thank you. Well, this course is all about helping and equipping one another. Honesty is a good place to start. And if we're feeling, oh no, I don't feel I can do this, or, oh Richard, why do you have to mention sharing faith through gritted teeth? Friends, there are many who feel like that. Let's be honest. Let's be honest about where we are, about our misgivings and how we feel about it. Some of you might be saying, yippee! Apparently about 1 in 10 people in a congregation would have the gift of sharing faith, according to statistics, which as we look around the congregation, there's quite a few of you for whom we are saying, yippee, I want to do this. So be honest about where we are. And as we explore the issues together, being honest about, okay, what are the issues I need to address? What are the things that's holding me back from sharing my faith in any way? Thank you. Next one. Through these next few weeks, I hope we're going to learn together, learn what it is to share our faith in a natural and relaxed way, and equipping us as a church family to be very much part of Jesus' great commission to the whole church. And last one, prayer. We begin and end with prayer. We need to pray that not only would God open up doors of opportunity, but that God would prepare your heart and mine so that we are ready to share the good news of his love as and when opportunity arises. So that is by way of introduction. And so over the next few weeks, We're going to be exploring these things together. Our home groups, if you're a member of a home group, our home groups are going to be taking these issues and unpacking them more in these coming weeks. And we've got study sheets for every member of the home groups. If you're not a part of a home group but would like to have the study sheets, just let me know, because we've duplicated enough, duplicated, photocopied, going back in time, photocopied enough copies so that you can take them home and use them for your own study. And I think there's one more slide, which should be a prayer. Yeah. Let's just read quietly this prayer together, and then we'll pray it. It says, Christ, who was crucified and now is risen, may we find in you a sure ground for our faith, a firm support for our hope, the knowledge of sins forgiven, a compassion for those who don't know you, and the assurance that life is eternal. Let's pray that together. Christ, who was crucified and now is risen, may we find in you a sure ground for our faith, a firm support for our hopes, the knowledge of sins forgiven, a compassion for those who don't know you, and the assurance that life is eternal. Amen. Well, friends, I'm really looking forward to this series and helping you unpack it and putting it into practice. Key principle, be yourself with God for others. Be yourself, not on yourself, by yourself, but with God. And not simply inward looking, but outward looking for the sake of others. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard.